Welcome to the Food Matters Live podcast, where we showcase the innovations, the big ideas, and the visionaries in the food industry. We dig deep, we look to the future and the past, and we question everything we think we know about food. I'm Anthony Zara, and this episode was recorded live at the Food Matters Live event held in Manchester in November 2024. This session looked at how we can make the most of the inevitable byproducts in the production of food, and specifically, upcycling.
We've got two exciting speakers coming to talk about waste-related matters. The first one is Amanda Ohnbring. She's the CEO of Upcycled Food Association, and she'll be joining us virtually to discuss the progress and potential of upcycled food. And the emphasis will be on circular economy and how upcycled food can help as a critical part of a circular economy strategy.
My name is Amanda Ohnbring, and I'm CEO of the Upcycled Food Association. We are a global membership-based trade association that exists to accelerate the upcycled food economy. So let's start there. 5 years ago, when UFA got started, one of its founding tasks was to define upcycled foods. The three pillars that helped found our organization were aligning on the fact that upcycled foods use ingredients that otherwise would not have gone to human consumption, are procured and produced using verifiable supply chains, and have a positive impact on the environment. So let's dive in. As I'm sure many of you are aware, the global challenge of food waste is massive. Of all food produced, 30 to 40% is lost or wasted each year. And this total impact, if it were a country, would be the fifth largest emitter. So why upcycling? These numbers are specific to the US, but US nonprofit ReFED has measured a span of solutions that address food waste, and upcycling is a top 10 in those impact numbers, both in terms of food waste diverted, emissions reduced, and water saved. But beyond that, thinking about waste being transformed from a cost center into a revenue driver and the amount of jobs it can create along the way. This new innovation is available, is here, is happening, and is deserving of increased investment. The market size of the total opportunity is vast. The opportunity spans many segments, from traditional food products, pet, cosmetics, home and personal care, and new innovations happening all the time. So what are some of the benefits involved in upcycling innovation? There's the cost reduction I mentioned, thinking about how to transform previously wasted value streams and turning them into a revenue driver. There's the ability to capture otherwise wasted nutrition. And then there is the overall impact of how decreasing food waste can help in the fight against climate change. This is increasingly important in terms of decisions individuals can make. The nonprofit Project Drawdown measured a span of solutions in terms of what individuals can do to be drawing down climate. And amongst their scientific survey of solutions, reducing food waste is the top solution. We also were encouraged at the end of last year, the United States Environmental Protection Agency updated what had been its previous food waste hierarchy to now be the wasted food scale. The first and foremost advice is to, in any moment possible, prevent food waste. But when that is not possible, the next best solutions in terms of impact are to donate. And in this evolution, upcycling was elevated in terms of options for where to be diverting. So that's what we're all about at the Upcycled Food Association and the Upcycled Food Foundation. We exist to accelerate the upcycled food economy globally, unleashing innovation to stop food waste. We do this in several different ways, through collaborating amongst our members, through driving scientific research, to being a voice representing our members and policy, and increasingly educating both stakeholders across the supply chain and food consumers. Our membership spans the supply chain. We're really proud to be working with over 200 members globally, whether they have an upcycled product yet or not. Our members span the supply chain from R&D and innovation, ingredient suppliers, CPG and food companies, small to large, as well as distributors, retailers, and academic research. UFA is unique in that we do draw from the perspectives of a global membership. Part of our mission is to educate consumers and increase the adoption and awareness of upcycling. And in doing so, really helping create the market for these amazing products. As I mentioned, we are a collective voice in policy moments, as well as in media with press. And we have a strong foundation of academic participation, really moving this cutting edge forward. We are 5 years young as of this October, really began with strongly defining upcycled foods, and then quickly moved into developing the standard that became Upcycled Certified, the mark that launched in North America in 2021 and has grown globally since then. At the close of last year, our partner, Where Food Comes From, that had worked with us since the beginning of the standard, acquired Upcycled Certified, and they are now the partner with UFA in growing global certification. And Upcycled Certified has seen really strong growth. It's exciting to be at these points of seeing over 100 participants since the certification launched in 2021, and over 560 items, products, or ingredients have been certified. Sum total of that impact to date, 1.9 million tons of food waste has been diverted. And these numbers of the growth across total food and beverage as of July of this year, 2024, show really strong uptake. Strong growth, especially across snack, beverage, and pet food. Increasingly, the global adoption of this innovation is really encouraging across some of the strong growth categories I mentioned and beyond. And part of our role at Upcycled Food Association is celebrating each month in the month of June, Upcycled Food Month. So we invite you, as we turn the corner into the new year, to follow along and help spread the message. So some highlights around the larger direction of industry. Definitely growth within the ingredients market is strong and growing. Growth within cosmetics, and a lot of exciting direction in both innovation across categories and innovation specific to upcycling. What does this mean for consumers? Increasingly, I'm sure you all are experiencing in the preferences and purchasing behaviors of consumers, especially with younger demographics, increasingly the exciting new experience is driving a lot of purchase, as well as really grounding both product innovation and product claims in verified better for the planet. And in so many ways, upcycling fits very well into both of these. And it's exciting to see the broader listening to this trend come and knock on our doorstep every day. So we are experiencing a lot of curiosity and a lot of interest in where upcycling is today and where upcycling is going. Thanks in part to our members bringing their perspectives from all segments of the food supply chain. We are proud to work with everyone from individuals and students, nonprofits and universities, to folks that span so many different elements of what is creating and driving these products forward. With becoming a member of the Upcycled Food Association, it helps you keep the pulse of where the industry is and where the trends and the innovation are going through regular information, both from the association and its members, through helping celebrate and share best practices, and representing the entire network in moments, whether it's convenings, media, resources, and gathering as a community. Opportunities to participate span a range. We invite you to visit us at upcycledfood.org and see what role you could play in continuing to build this movement. And as I mentioned, we're celebrating this month our fifth year as an organization. So we invite you, if you've heard something today and you're curious to learn more, join our upcoming webinar series and learn more about specific topics in upcycling innovation now and ahead.
Great. Now we'll hear from Dr. Alessandro Biraglia. He's an associate professor of marketing at the University of Leeds. And he'll be talking to us about the challenges and opportunities surrounding upcycled food policies in particular, and he'll offer insights into how businesses can navigate the regulatory uncertainties, educate their customers, and leverage them upcycling for sustainability.
Thank you, Raymond. Thank you, all of you, to be here today. Seems that, you know, they left me the honor to concluding the session. No, it's a, you know, you can see that Food Matter Live is a very, you know, like goes against the conformity. Normally you leave the best for the end, and today you have me for the end. But, you know, we'll try to do this. And I'll try to be not too much academic after, you know, the interesting presentations that we heard today. So my name is Alessandro Biraglia. As Raymond said, I'm an associate professor of marketing at Leeds University Business School in Leeds, where I've been for the last 14 years. Together with being an associate professor of marketing, because I never had enough of taking on things, since September I'm also the faculty lead for external engagement for the research, meaning that I'm coordinating all the external engagement for all the 7 departments that we have, from accounting and finance, passing from supply chain, management, marketing, of course, until HRM. So basically coordinating all the activities, a new role, so it's something that I'm learning myself as I go. I try to coordinate all the activity done externally with businesses, policymakers, or government, local authority, especially now that the combined authorities are getting more power, third sector, NGOs, so all the sorts of things. So it's something very, very exciting, challenging, but exciting. What I'm presenting to you today is a little extract of a piece of research that we did a year and a bit ago. It was in partnership with Leeds City Council, and it was part of the funded by the UKRI Research England Policy Network. And this actually has been recently nominated also for a wide University of Leeds Impact and Engagement Awards, which I'm really, really proud about it, because, you know, it was the first project I led as PI, and then, you know, like you are lucky that the luck of the fresher, basically. But it's something that revolves initially around the idea of upcycled food in particular, but also of what policy and what legislations are there that could, for example, in the UK, that could, for example, help companies or like organizations that are interested in do more upcycle activities to do so. My interest as an academic in upcycling started from different type of upcycling of materials, so how you can transform, for example, a bottle to become a blazer, for example, and how consumers specifically react to this, and how a company can optimize that in their production. But for this particular project, inspired also from one of my students, we went into the food, because upcycled food, I'm not repeating much, you know, like Amanda was doing a brilliant introduction before, so she covered at least a third of my presentation, so I'm going quite quick now. But with my co-I, Gulban, who's in management, and she does quite a lot of research on food waste, and Luca, who instead is in the engineering department, so does, you know, quite a lot of engineering research, and with Claire from Leeds City Council and two research assistants, Brett, who basically is on the fence of the business school and law department, so he helped a lot with the legislation part, and George, who also helped with the business review. We managed to create this project, whose report, we had like a draft of a report, you know, there is a first version of report. I'm not going to basically cover all the report, but if you are interested, give me a buzz. I mean, I leave my kind of contact at the end, so you can, if you are interested in browsing a bit more, you will please give me a shout. So I'm going fast about this upcycling. You know, we already discovered what it is through, I mean, probably already knew, but it's something reusing ingredients that otherwise would have been discarded from the food value chain. It's not like an uncommon practice in general, even in the household. For example, you know, you can make a stock out of peels and other things. The one in the middle is something that we made in my area. I'm from South Italy. It's like a pasta frittata. So you have leftover pasta, you add eggs, you add some things you want, you fry, shallow fry in a pan, and you make like a cake that is very, very nice, very, very good, especially if you want to take it for lunch because you can eat by hand, like a pie, basically. And of course, you know, we all know about jams and preserves and things like that. So you have like a little bit of fruit that's past the acceptable date if you want. You don't want to throw it away. You can make a jam. There are some ways of upcycling. But of course, this is a very profitable opportunity for businesses, especially when we look at integrating this type of upcycling across the food value chain. Some of the business-to-consumer product that we are available in the UK, I mean, Amanda was talking much about the one in the US. For example, we had Rejuice, as a company making like juice out of wonky fruits. Of course, that's Chip that basically does hummus out of different type of pulses. Toastale, you know, I don't know if any of these companies here, you know, just give you a shout. But last year we did, actually in April, we did an event, at Food Matters in Ascot, with Toastale as well. Ruby's in the Rubble, that's ketchup and other kind of chutneys and sauces. So they're all examples of the companies that are operating in the UK at the consumer level, so they're available in shops and not just specialist shop. Also, we had I'm going to tell you in a minute. We had the opportunity of having Tom from Rejuice to present their case study when we organized a workshop at University of Leeds. It was very, very interesting. This is something that you already saw in Amanda's presentation. There are quite a lot of opportunities in terms of dollarizing the American will say, the impact of upcycled food. You know, there's quite a lot of potential in the growth in the industry that you know, businesses might be interested into. What we did. So the idea was basically to check what is the state of the art of the policy when it comes on reuse of byproducts, right? Reuse of byproducts in general, because of course, as you heard from Amanda, it has to have like a sustainable certified, trustworthy certified origin. We need to basically engage in this. And of course, it might be met by the market and by other investors, by regulators in different ways. So what we are doing is that, are there any policies hindering upcycling or like the use of these byproducts? Or in the current legislation in the UK, there are already things that we can use. We can use for our favor, like in terms of producing upcycled food. So we basically split our work into two stages. The first stage was like a review stage, in which basically we looked at not only a policy, but also we looked at businesses that... And this is something that we discussed also this morning. It was a very, very interesting in the presentations in the morning. I mean, basically what businesses are saying, how businesses are presenting themselves. Are they saying that they're doing upcycled food? Are they using upcycled food in their production? In the US, you've seen, you know, there is this certification now a company can apply to. Is it something that is available? So we basically scanned the environment. We looked at businesses present in the UK to check how many of these businesses are actually promoting themselves as doing upcycling, right? So, this was the first part. The first part was the review. And then what we did, when we analyzed this body of work, both on the business side and on the policy side, we organized a workshop where we invited policymakers. We invited, of course, you know, us as academic plus other academics in different departments, different schools, but also invited businesses, not just we invited businesses to do upcycled food, but also invited other companies that produce food in general in the food business. So what we did, we basically, as I said, reviewed the state of the art of the policy. We create, you know, like this evidence-based report, which basically say, okay, what can we do in terms of best practices? look at the food value chain. We create a database of companies, local and national levels, that work and they do upcycled food activities in some way. You know, sometimes they just say we upcycle, for example, our oil, or for example, we use certain ingredients, or it's all upcycled that we want basically to sell to the consumers, like in the case, for example, of Rejuice. And as I said, it was the point of organizing this workshop, because of course we wanted to, I think the best part of the project after you review the policy, because I'm coming from business school rather than the law department, is to try to come up with some kind of takeout, right? So something that we can go and try to apply and test into the environment. So how we did the policy review, very quickly, I'm going to cover that. So as I said, I don't want to go be too academic. We went through this amazing platform is called legislation.gov.uk, where you get all sorts of legislations from the 19th century, 18th century until 2024. We had some, we developed some keywords to look for, you know, we debated back and forth. We looked at different type of regulations at the ministerial level, at the national level. We kept in, because this was done in 2022, we kept in still some legislation that were not repealed or repealed from the European Union. So we kept, there is like a detailed version and methodology in the report if you're interested, but I'm not covering it right now. Anyway, we basically looked at this legislation, and what we did, we put them along the food waste hierarchy. So basically we looked at this legislation where they sit along the food waste hierarchy. Of course, for what concern us, because we are interested in the reuse of food for human, and you know, like at least, you know, like for consumption rather than producing necessarily other things, we wanted to focus on the legislation that are at the top at the food waste hierarchy, so that we can basically reintroduce as much as possible into the food value chain. So, and there are at this level, what is interesting is that the legislation, they are not doing any particular mandatory actions about, you know, like the for organization to take to prevent food waste or to reuse this waste. But these are very, very useful, especially because at the top are the pre-farm gate waste, and something that we can easily track, or at least, you know, like being able to reuse quite quickly. And these are also the first three steps, the one that are more useful for businesses, because it's something that food is still nutritious, it's something that you can basically use for the creation of other products. So we have quite a lot of legislations that we've reviewed. I'm just going some snapshots now. So basically, we were looking at you know, the organic food production, use already like reuse of byproducts instead of fertilizers and other things. For the fishing industry, we heard today about something about the tuna industry, fishing industry, but the catches need to be, for example, retaining on the ship, and basically even the in certain circumstances they could be discarded, but they need to be monitored. The most interesting piece, which I think is the Agriculture Act of 2020, because in this legislation, what it says, the Secretary of State for Agriculture has the power of collecting data of all food that is rejected from the value chain. So we will know, for example, how many tons of potatoes are not there, or how many, you know, of all produce, which is very, very interesting, because you will see that one of the key problem in the upcycled food industry, or in the upcycle, is actually the consistent supply chain, because you cannot just realize, okay, I have a, you know, I have 50 kilos of potatoes unsold this year, this month I'm making chips that I'm selling, because I'm reusing the potatoes, and then next month what happens? So of course businesses want a constant supply chain. So it's something that having like data, today we talked a lot about data, having data available where this waste or this byproducts are and how much they are, they will be very, very useful. So there is an upcycling opportunity of collecting all the data and try to make almost like what I call a tinder of food, you know, like, or ingredients. So basically there are companies that want and suppliers that can give, and try to match them. So there is opportunity also in the information technology to develop something like that. There are some experiments that are around these things, but when you talk to people that produce upcycled food, especially to the, you know, the companies that sell to the consumers, most times they rely on personal contacts. I know a farmer, calls me up, I go with my trail, I take my... We're talking about very micro level operations. So, you know, of course, we for a business to be successful and grow, you need basically to have these type of things. There is, of course, you know, like the distribution of surplus food and drink, because any item suitable for sale is also suitable for donation. So it's not just like a purchase thing, but it could be also related to donation. And sometimes, of course, there is, and Amanda was covering this in her report, there is the opportunity of reusing food byproducts to create other products which are not food. So for example, cosmetics and things like that. But our focus was mostly say, how can we promote like the reuse of food, this for food purposes. And of course, you know, like there is the redistribution across the value chain could be a fantastic opportunity to waste less and make also an impact, collaborating with communities, collaborating with startups to basically develop new ways of reusing this type of food. Then, of course, there is the farm food, basically the animal feed made out of upcycled food, which is an opportunity. And this, of course, is being used also to on a higher level to produce like animal treats, treats for animals and things like that, so they can basically be sold at a different market rather than as just feed for cattle and things like that. So basically, these were some examples. As I said, there are more policy that we reviewed and we looked at in the full report. But what was important was discussing these reviews with the different stakeholders at the workshop, and we came up with three main areas of takeouts that could be, you know, interesting for developing an upcycled food business model. So the first area was, of course, the relationship with the government and local authorities. So basically, how producing these type of things could be deemed to some fiscal incentives. Some people were talking about, you know, for example, reduction of VAT or some type of funds for startups to develop these type of things, or incentive to use this type of food. Sourcing and procurement, so basically incentivize companies to look for the use of or the reuse of certain food material. Of course, a lot of work in the supply chain integration. So how we can basically reuse this these ingredients or these foods or foodstuff across, you know, the supply chain. So starting from the production until, you know, like you can use it in a nutritious way. And of course, you know, like the idea of having public and private partnerships, because this is something that we discussed today. A lot has to pass through legislation, has to pass. If you want to generate change, it's something that policy and legislation should basically be there. In terms of business resources, of course, you know, ways of attracting capital investment. So we know through the stats that there is a big opportunity and potential in upcycled food, but of course, you know, like it's something that investors might want to be convinced, and in order to basically bring this, or events, you know, like in which we can present this, the success of these stories is important. Market demand. So yes, there is this idea that consumers are more pushy towards certain things. And of course, as we discussed before in the round table, it's one piece of the puzzle. The upcycled food is one piece of the puzzle. You need to, of course, integrate the upcycled food within the full kind of circular model. So your food is, you know, could be like organic, it could be plant-based, it could be like locally sourced, and it's also upcycled. So it's something that is an added value to the narrative. But the most important thing there is the knowledge gap. So the knowledge gap on how, for example, we can transform this type of food. So We have these, I mean, the companies that I presented in my slide are business to consumer. However, a lot of the upcycle opportunities are in the business to business as well. So I sell ingredients to other companies that then make something else. But also the know-how, developing know-how, how can I basically extract things from upcycled food to reuse them. So for example, I met, you know, this person who used to be a Michelin star chef. He works in Berlin now. He got fed up of working as a chef, and he developed this startup in which they basically develop miso and soy sauce out of stale bread. So they don't sell that. They don't sell the soy sauce and stale bread. What they sell the know-how of how to do that. So they basically go to companies and say, if you want, you know, we can help you doing this. So they basically sell what they can do. So the knowledge gap is very, very important. There's like a niche, an opportunity for companies to insert there and basically work on this. And of course, there is the role of the university and academia. And it's very, very important. First of all, because we could, being present on territory, like, you know, we're basically, there are universities everywhere dotted around the countries. We can basically facilitate this kind of cooperation of the, you know, policymaking companies and, you know, research putting together. Today, we talked a lot about educating consumers or like understanding what consumers want. I mean, I'm a consumer researcher by training, and this is something that we do constantly in academia. We try, you know, to understand consumer trends, and we try also to educate. As a faculty lead for external engagement, one of my priorities is also public lectures. So basically going outside academia and actually talked about things like that to people that are not specialists, people that are, you know, just consumers. The good thing of studying consumers is that we are all consumers, so we can all relate. Now, you can consume more or less sustainably, more or less healthier, but we are all consumers. The good thing that academia can do together with the other stakeholders is to basically influence policy and try, you know, to change policy for a simple reason that especially these days with the new combined authorities, depending of course of who is at the helm of the combined authority, it's very, very important that universities are there to do their part. I know for a fact that here in Manchester the mayor, Andy Burnham, is very, very hell bent to say university and the local authorities need to work together. That's no other way, which I agree, because, you know, it's something that's it's also good to give back to the community and do some impact in our research. And again, like this is the last bit that I'm going to say, and then I'm shutting up, it's the know-how. So basically, of course, I'm from the business school. I oversee lots of things, but there are lots of colleagues that work in supply chain, but they work together with food science, we discussed before. They work in engineering. So to develop this know-how and how to basically create spin-offs, for example, from the university is actually a great opportunity to work in this type of field. And as I promised, this was my last thing. You find me on LinkedIn, and let me know if you at some point want to see the report or, you know, want more information. I'm happy to share. Thank you.
Excellent, Sandra. Does anyone have questions? Quick question.
It's regarding, so I'm from a food manufacturer, and with any waste regarding breadcrumbs and extra food vegetables, we normally distribute with the employees mm-hmm. within the business, and then we send it to an anaerobic digestion plant, mm-hmm. which is used for like, you know, fertilizers and for the renewable energy. Is there any other next steps for us as a business that we could take?
That's great. First of all, that you do all these things already, which, you know, like it's something that already, you know, you are advanced compared to many other businesses. I think, you know, like this, and this is my view on, and the view that we try to infuse in the report about the universities as hubs. So, for example, imagine that, you know, we can discuss this in more details. You contact me and say, I have this issue. Mm-hmm. And then I have somebody else saying, I will need this type of supply to produce something. I could basically be the Tinder that I would, mm-hmm. I would like to see. So basically the matchmaker, mm-hmm. and I could basically help you this. In terms of the reuse of this, I know, for example, the company, like Toast Ale and other people produce, for example, beverages out of this. So they might be interested in taking. The only thing is that talk to different businesses, the data point is important because they say, okay, how much of this do you have for me? So, and it's something that it's extremely important because companies will like, before they commit to something, they want to have like a clear, relationships that set it out. So I think, there are plenty of other opportunities. The one thing is the scale on which you can operate in terms of the byproducts that you have. Another thing is also, I think, like a fit between companies, because sometimes you want to have you don't want your product to, even if it's a byproduct, associated with certain type of practices. So yeah. I think that there are lots of opportunities, but of course it needs to be explored in detail.
Okay, thank you. Does that mean that upcycling is not necessarily the next stage, but it's just on implementation that if you could do it, that'd be great?
I think it's one of the next things coming, but and I think we are probably in a good company by saying that it's not enough just to say it's upcycled. I mean, I understand that the research of 1,000 consumers that they presented there say that people are willing to pay more. But let me tell you something. I mean, many times these products are actually very niche products that normally cost more. I'll give an example. You take pulp from a fruit, mm-hmm. and you make energy bars for sports people that sell in specific shops. Mm-hmm. That product, by nature, costs more because it's targeted to a specific, it's a specialty good. So, of course, people are spending more because mm-hmm. actually the product is more expensive. But yeah. that's actually a good opportunity because the company can make a big margin because you get something that technically is, not for free, but, like it's a byproduct, mm-hmm. and you make through other things like a product that you can sell.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks everyone for having the tenacity to stay through to the end. Thank you to the organizers. I'd like to say a big thank you to the sponsors and partners, including UNESCO, Culinary Arts Commission, Exbury, Ulrich and Short, Norchem, NIPRO, and HSI. For me, this has been enlightening. Because mostly I have these conversations in small niches of industry and academia. And it was quite enlightening to hear how the industry, think about sustainability, particularly with respect to sustainable sourcing. So I hope you found something useful. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Food Matters Live podcast. We've got some exciting news to share about more live events this year. We're heading to Manchester in May, Ascot in October, and Dublin in November. And for the first time, we're hosting an event in mainland Europe. In September 2025, we'll be in Rotterdam. Join us as we inspire the future of food. Learn more and sign up at foodmatterslive.com. And we look forward to seeing you there.